Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to one and all. Barakallahu feekum. We start in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wassalatu wassalamu ala ashrafil anbiya'i wal mursaleen. Wa ala ikhwanihi min al anbiya'i al akhareen. Alayhimu min Allahi as-salawatu wa taslimat. Wa ala sahabatihi wa ala alihi wa sahabatihi ajma'in. Radiyallahu anhum ajma'in. Jazakumullahu khairan. I thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this opportunity wherein He has afforded us this chance to analyze the lives of the Anbiya alayhi wassalam as they were mentioned in the previous scriptures. But sadly, due to distortions, so much of disregard has crept in concerning these mighty men of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah has blessed us with the Quran that defends the greatest of people. So today we discuss such a Nabi of Allah who is basically the forefather of the Anbiya alayhi wassalam. The Anbiya alayhi wassalam that came after him are all from his two lineages. And this is that Nabi of Allah, subhanallah. That is, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam actually said, when he described the Anbiya alayhi wassalam, he said, as for Ibrahim alayhi salam, then he looks like your Nabi, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And it also means your Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam looks like him. When our beloved sallallahu alayhi wasallam went on Mi'raj, the Anbiya alayhi wasallam welcomed him, that marhaban bin Nabi salih wal akhi salih. Welcome to that Nabi of Allah, who is that righteous Nabi and that righteous brother. But when our beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam met, number one, Hazrat Ibrahim, and the other, Hazrat Adam alayhi wa sallam, they welcomed him. Welcome to such a Nabi who is righteous and who is that righteous son. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes from their progeny. First from Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi wa sallam, and yes, he is the son and the offspring of Hazrat Adam alayhi salam, the mighty Nabi of Allah, the father of humanity, Hazrat Adam alayhi salam. So alhamdulillah, this Nabi of Allah is mentioned so many times in the Quran. If you analyze it, third most. First being our Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, second being Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, third being none other than Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Like you have it there, 65 verses, like you have it, 65 verses in the Quran Kareem, but he's mentioned in the Quran 69 times is Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned. Now, what has happened is, sadly, in the Bible, it always goes off. That's why you can see it's not preserved and protected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The dirty hands of people have repeatedly tampered with it. Concerning any Nabi of Allah. Now imagine Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, who is such a Nabi of Allah. Ma kana Ibrahimu Yahudiya wala Nasraniya walakin kana Hanifan Muslima. And Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam is also revered by them. He's held in high esteem, but their books don't regard that. You know, actually, as you study his life in their books, you can see how many a time their books are, and it comes to the Quran Kareem, the book of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Ahadith Mubarakah, the Ahadith of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to defend this great messenger of Allah, Siddiqan Nabiyya. One of the chapters we'll discuss here now, before we bring the Quran Kareem to defend, because the Quran Kareem is Qayyiman liyundhira ba'san shadeedan. Yes, it would have been so nice to start with the Quran and discuss the different aspects of the life of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam in the Quran Kareem, his childhood in his area, Harran, and how he, as a young man, couldn't bear and tolerate idolatry in his father, and how he spoke to his community, and how he spoke to his father, how he made an effort, how he demolished the idols. All these are phenomenal events that's there in the Quran Kareem that every one of us should learn and should aspire to emulate our Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. These were chapters that motivated our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam to give da'wah to the mushrikeen of Makkah, the idolaters of Makkah. How Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam used to speak to those idolaters, greatly based on Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam's da'wah and inviting the mushrikeen. And how Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was sick and tired of the mushrikeen, that even he didn't want to attend their festival because it hurt him so much. And then he made a plan to open their minds. وَتَاللَّهِ لَأَكِيدَنَّ أَصْنَامَكُمْ بَعْدَ أَن تُوَلُّوا مُدْبِرِينَ. And he planned to open their minds, and he demolished all the idols. And when they returned, they found all the idols demolished except the main one. And now they're wondering who did this, and they lay search. And they find that there was one young man who would always tell us about the oneness of Allah and negate, he would negate the idols. It should be him. And they come to Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam to open their minds the way he speaks to them. This is detailed in the Quran Kareem. We're not going to go into all of this. This incidents are known to one and all. Allah give us all tawfiq to spread the deen. Very pertinent also is Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, as he joined some people in one area, as he was migrating and they were worshipping the stars and then the sun, moon and then the sun. Some might see these verses and think that Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam also worshipped those creatures and creation of Allah. Never. He never worshipped those creation of Allah. The Quran Kareem is basically telling us how he tried to open their minds, making them think that, see, if we say we're worshipping the stars, then look at it. Hada Rabbi. He's basically showing them while he's sitting with them and interacting with them, showing them that this is not God. The creator is one, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because our aqidah is none of the Anbiya alayhi salam, even in their youth or their childhood, ever perpetrated shirk. They are ma'asumeen. But in today's discussion, we're starting biblically just to understand the distortions of these previous scriptures. So let's start with Genesis 12. And in this chapter here, we discuss an event that's mentioned in this in the Bible. The beginning of Genesis 12 is interesting. Verse 3. The verse says, I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. Interestingly, and it says, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So interestingly, Muslims make dua for Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, meaning incur Allah Ta'ala's blessings. This is the teachings of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad. Kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim. Innaka hamidun majid. This is an interesting verse to show Christian associates and so forth. Let's see this verse 12:3. Who are the people that pray in every prayer? This blessings upon Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. The point I want to come to was now Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam leaves that area with his family, with his wife, Hazrat Sarah. The Bible refers to her most of the time as Sarai and sometimes Sarah. Sarai, Sarah alayhi salam, radiallahu anha. And who was with them on this journey is Hazrat Lut alayhi salam. Allah give us tawfiq to mention some aspect about him and how the Quran Kareem defends him so many times, mentioning him 27 times. Hazrat Lut alayhi salatu wasalam. He was the nephew of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam's brother was Haran. Now we know Hazrat Musa alayhi salam's brother Harun. This is Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam's brother Haran. Haran's son was Hazrat Lut alayhi salatu wasalam, a mighty Nabi of Allah. Anyway, when Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam then comes to the lands of Egypt. So this is 12:10. And there was a famine in the land. And Ibrahim alayhi salam went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. Verse 11. And it came to pass when he was come near to enter into Egypt, and he said unto Sarai his wife, behold now, I know that thou art a fair woman to look upon. Meaning, she is beautiful. And that's in the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She was among the most, she was the most beautiful. Alayhi salam. Verses 12. Therefore, it shall come to pass when the Egyptians shall see thee, that they shall say, this is his wife, and they will kill me, but they will save thee alive. Now listen to this and see the difference between this version and how what defends Ibrahim alayhi salam here. Say, I pray thee, thou art my sister. So you must say that you're my sister, that it may be with me for thy sake, that and my soul shall live because of thee. Meaning they'll release me because of you, because you're my sister, they'll release me. But now, according to this context here, it's saying that if you say that you're my wife, they'll kill me to take you. But if you say you're my sister, they'll still take you to do what they want to do with the woman, but they will spare my life. And it came to pass that when Abraham was come into Egypt, the Egyptians beheld the woman, that she was very fair. The princess also of the Pharaoh saw her and commended her before Pharaoh, and the woman was taken in Pharaoh's house. And he entreated Abraham well for her sake, meaning because of her, he gifted Abraham well. And he had sheep and oxen and he asses, meaning male asses, donkeys, and men servants and maid servants, and she asses and camels. Now, strangely here, there's so much of detail about what gifts this king of Egypt gave Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam. And it's showing that Ibrahim alayhi salam, the reason here is very strange. Anyway, then when the king did come to know that this is not the sister, because what they were expecting is if he was she was the wife, they would kill Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam. When he got to know, he actually was offended, and he said to Ibrahim alayhi salam, why didn't you tell me? As the verses continue, verses 17, and the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abraham's wife. And Pharaoh called Abraham and said, what is this that thou hast done unto me? Why didst thou not tell me that she was thy wife? Why didn't you tell me that she's your wife? Why did you say that she's my sister? So I might have taken her to me, to wife. Meaning, because you said she's my sister, I want to wed her. Now therefore, behold thy wife, take her and go thy way. And Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him, and they sent him away and his wife and all that he had. Shockingly, in this story, according to the Bible, sadly, every time the Bible brings other people to be more righteous than actually the greatest of people. This story is portraying that Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam didn't want to die. So he says to Hazrat Sarah, just mention that you're my sister. No matter what they do to you, it's fine, as long as they spare my life. Na'udhu billah. So it shows that this book is portraying that he's not worried about her chastity. Then it's showing that he was very happy with the gifts that were given to him. And shockingly, the Bible will say what gifts come to Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam. But the document, those documenting and the authors here are not taking note of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam getting upset and how upset he was about what they did or what happened, what was the reaction. Only lot of sheep, lot of donkeys, lot of camels. Very, very strange. Now, subhanallah, in the hadith mubarakah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the hadith is in Sahih Bukhari. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has Abu Huraira's hadith. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa sallam's journey and passing Egypt. He mentioned to his wife, that, you know, we in this area, yeah, we are the only believers on this earth. If they ask, then say that you're my sister. I'll say the same and you'll say the same, because we are brother and sister in Islam. Now, interestingly, in the here it's referring to brother and sister in Islam, and they were cousins. But according to the Bible, it's a shocking point that comes there, that their father was the same. But the Bible contradicts itself. It says that somewhere, it says contradicting to that somewhere else. So it's so very, very strange and ajeeb. Anyway, in this hadith, our beloved sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that when Hazrat Sarah was taken, then the king tried to violate her and, you know, make an approach her. يَتَنَاوَلُهَا بِيَدِهِ فَأُخِذَ. And he was paralyzed. And now when he's paralyzed, he says to her, pray to the Lord for me and I'll So she made dua and he was released. But then seeing her again, he then lost control, and due to his desires, he made, you know, evil intentions towards her, and he was seized again, more intensely this time. And then he said, pray to Allah, to the Lord, to release me and I won't harm you. And this happened. And after that, he asked his guards that, what did you bring to me? Is this a human being or some demon? But he was so amazed at what happened. He gave her a gift in the form of Hajar. And then Hazrat Sarah returns to Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, and he was alone at this time. So it seems Hazrat Lut was not with him on this journey here, and he was praying in Salah. And then he asked her, what happened? So she said, Allah repelled the plot of the infidel in his neck, back into his neck. And Allah gave us a servant in the form of Hajar. And then Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu commented after this hadith, that is your mother. Oh, people of the water, water of the sky, meaning addressing the Arab and the Ummah of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Now, how beautiful is the hadith? The hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam explains the reason for saying sister is that this king would, you know, not harm the sister of somebody. But obviously, the king's desire was, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam analyzed it like that. They would usurp someone's wife. So Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam's worry was his wife's chastity and, you know, her. There wasn't any worry about himself in the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But the biblical version, it's showing so many negativities, that more concern was his life and more concern was the bribery he was to receive through giving his wife and the wonderful gifts that came and so forth. So you can see how ludicrous are the books that had been distorted by the dirty hands of people. Then that is obviously in the hadith. So the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam defends Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam in the Sahih Bukhari. Now, interestingly, in Genesis 16, now Sarai, Abraham's wife, Ibrahim alayhi salam, bare him no children. This is Hazrat Sarah radiallahu anha. And she had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hajar. Now, by the way, we know Hazrat Hajar. Hazrat Hajar is very, very important to us. Now, Allama Ibn Kathir in his Bidayah wa Nihaya mentions that Hazrat Hajar was actually the daughter of the former ruler of Egypt that was overthrown by this king. So she came from royalty, but because of her situation. And Allah rescued her through this scene here. Allah rescued her through this. Anyway, see what the Bible says about this part. And Sarah said unto Abraham, behold now, the Lord hath restrained me from bearing, meaning I can't bear children. I pray thee, meaning I ask you, go in unto my maid, it may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abraham hearkened to the voice of Sarah. And Sarai, Abraham's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abraham had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband Abraham to be his wife. So there also we know that Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam wedded Hazrat Hajar, and from there, verses 4, chapter 16, verses 4, and he went in unto Hajar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, then strangely, it shows Hazrat Sarah radiallahu anha not tolerating this. The ahadith, the Quran Kareem and the ahadith Mubarakah don't show this. So we find that the biblical version shows a very ordinary kind of people, what normal people go through, irritation due, small, small nitty gritties. Now she gets upset and she curses Hajar and she chases her away. And now she commands Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam to send Hazrat Hajar away. And Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam takes her away and leaves her in the desert and doesn't say anything, leaves her to die and so forth. That is really doesn't make sense. But according to the Quran and the ahadith here, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam is commanded by Allah to take his wife Hazrat Hajar and his son Hazrat Ismail. This was Allah Ta'ala's test for him. He was so happy with his child that Allah Ta'ala blessed. Because so even in the Bible it goes on and goes off. Like it says here, and Abraham said unto God, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. Meaning he was praying for Ismail alayhi salam. Then verses 9, and God said, Sarah, thy wife, shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac. Now you'll see the Bible always tries to shut Hazrat Ismail alayhi salam equation. So you can see the Bible is a book that is basically for one ethnicity. It's not for everyone. It is in it that whenever it comes to Hazrat Sarah and Hazrat Ishaq alayhim salam, it goes great honor. When it comes to Hazrat Ismail alayhi salam, you can see the honor, this endeavors to remove that honor. So you call this ethnocentric. It's obsessed by one ethnicity. Ethnocentric. Now, what happens here is Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, so the Bible says that he threw them into their destruction. Na'udhu billah. But the Quran and the Hadith then portray Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam takes his wife and his son and he leaves them in the desert where Allah had decreed, that they are going to build the Kaaba Sharif. Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, this was his test. He was hurt. It was a test of Allah. And he takes his wife and his child and he leaves them in the desert of Makkah. Ya Allah, and amazing is this, subhanAllah. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam makes dua, Rabbi, inni askantu min dhurriyati. Surah Ibrahim 14, chapter 14. Allah, I have left my progeny, my child. Now, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam was 86 when Allah blessed him. But Hazrat Ismail alayhi salam, that's in the tariq and it's also biblical. Askantu min dhurriyati, biwad, in this valley. Ghayri di zar'a. Ya Allah, there's no vegetation there. But in the baytika al-muharram, but by yourself. Rabbana liyuqimu salah. Allah, I leave them here in order that they establish salah. So through Kaaba, through Mecca, salah will be established. So this was the purpose of leaving his family in the lands of Mecca. There's no mention whatsoever in the Quran or in the Ahadith about what the Bible shows, these petty issues that is not sensible for such great people who are patriarchs, who are the pinnacle of Allah's creation. These are the paragon of Allah's creation. You can see how the Quran and every advent in the Quran and the Sunnah Mubarakah about Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam and these mighty Anbiya, Hazrat Ismail alayhi salam, Hazrat Ishaq alayhi salam, what the Quran and the Ahadith mention about them is in keeping with their dignity. Those who believe in the Bible say, no, they are people who are very, very dignified. But there's a contradiction between the stories in their books about them and what they say they believe about them. Now, the Quran has a perfect synchronized explanation between their lives, the lives they lived, and the lofty position they hold in our deen, in the truth. He decided and his family a salah, the deen to come alive, liyuqimu salah. Ya Allah, the natija of leaving them here, the purpose of leaving them here, Ya Allah, salah must come alive in them. An establishment of salah is in humanity. Allah, Allah. And oh Allah, when people come, soften people's hearts towards them. فَجْعَلْ أَفْئِدَةً مِنَ النَّاسِ تَهْوِي إِلَيْهِمْ وَارْزُقْهُمْ مِنَ الثَّمَرَاتِ. Ya Allah, when people come, soften people's hearts towards them. Where people will embrace Islam through them. People will respect them. People will love them. And, oh Allah, you provide for them with fruit and food. وَارْزُقْهُمْ مِنَ الثَّمَرَاتِ. Not just for no reason, Ya Allah.
بدهم الشكر جزار، تاك الشكر جزار وجهي لعلهم يشكرون. So amazing is the dua of Hazrat Ibrahim عليه الصلاة والسلام. And the hadith of Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم is so beautiful. When Hazrat Ibrahim عليه الصلاة, the Bible just portrays, just left them in the desert to die. Then Hazrat Ibrahim عليه السلام is leaving them in the hadith. سبحان الله. In Sahih Bukhari, Hazrat Hajar comes behind him. Oh Ibrahim, you leave us here. And he didn't respond at first. And then she asked again, Allahu amaraka bihada. Did Allah command you to do so, O Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam? He indicated yes. Then she said, Idan lay yudayya'ana Allah. In that case, Allah will never forsake us, O Ibrahim. And he goes, Allah, Allah. And when he left, that's when he made the dua and so forth. And how Allah took care of them. And there comes something very interesting I want to mention to you. We all know the incident day after the Hazrat Hajar alayhi salam, her milk in her Mubarak chest was finished. And now she needed food for her child. So she left. She went up and down the mountain, Safa Marwa, Safa Marwa, hearing for somebody, looking for help, trying to see from the hills, searching for help for her child. And Allah sent direct help, Hazrat Jibreel, to dig under the foot of Hazrat Ibrahim, Ismail alayhi salatu was salam. And there came the water, Zam Zam. But interestingly, you'll find this land, Makkah Mukarramah, is also mentioned in the Bible. And that is in Psalms 84. Psalms 84, Psalms 84, 4 mentions the land of Makkah Mukarramah. And it mentions Makkah as Bakka. Now, what's interesting is some Bibles mention it as, you know, happy are those who live in your house, ever singing your praise. Happy are those whose strength is in you. Let me open to it quickly. And then it comes to the valley of crying. And the other version, like the King James has it, the valley of Bakka, right? As we know it. Now, what is Bakka? Bakka actually means from the word buka, which means to cry. And Makkah Mukarramah, when one goes to Makkah Mukarramah, one sheds tears out of remorse and repentance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, crying to Allah for acceptance, crying to Allah, remorsing for our mistakes. So what happens is, interestingly, Makkah Mukarramah is where tears are shed and we cry to Allah in repentance. But what's interesting is Makkah in the Bible is referred to as Bakka. Now let me read from here. From verses 4. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee, Selah. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them, who passing through the valley of Bakka, making it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength. And so, now, the other version of the Bible, the other translation has it, the valley of weeping. So it's also weeping. And Bakka means to crush, because Bakka crushes desires. And Bakka from the word buka, which means to cry. But what's astonishing is the famous name for Makkah Mukarramah is Makkah. The name that's not so famous for Makkah, but also a name for Makkah, is Bakka. That's why in the Quran Kareem, in Surah Baqarah, Allah mentions that name for Makkah that is not so famous. Inna awwala bayti wudi'a lin-nasi lalladhi bi Bakka. The same reference of Makkah in Psalms 84, 6 is used in the Quran Kareem in Surah Baqarah, para 2. So anyway, Makkah Mukarramah is also mentioned. Maulana Ahmed Pandor has a nice kitab, Makkah in the Bible. And you see Zamzam also, and all of that there. Now, Allah Ta'ala blessed the progeny of Hazrat Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam. We know the incident of Jurhum that came there, and how from there Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam's children. Now, interestingly, Hazrat Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam's children are also mentioned in the Bible. Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam's children in the form of Hazrat Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam, the progeny of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, are all mentioned in the Bible as well. So Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, Hazrat Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam being very great. But I was mentioning to you how whenever the Bible comes to Hazrat Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam, it will always try and take away his honor wherever it can. But when it comes to Hazrat Ishaq alayhi salam, it wants to just show that he is the greatest of all and there's no one like him. So you can see, as it says, but it couldn't take too much away. But that's why you speak to Christians and you mention the few verses of praise that is still there for Hazrat Ismail alayhi salam. They can't believe it because it's like as though they're hearing it for the first time. Like I mentioned to you when I was with the Jewish doctor not long ago on the flight. And I mentioned to him what our Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said about Hazrat Ishaq alayhi salam and the Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam and Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salam and Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam. He was quite amazed. And I said to him, but what about acknowledging Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam's lineage also? So he said, what do you mean? So I mentioned to him Genesis chapter 17 verse 20. And as for Ismail, I have heard thee. Behold, I have blessed him and will make him fruitful and will multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget, and I will make him a great nation. So the Jewish doctor was also shocked. But you read along, you'll find that everywhere they can, they try and take from Hazrat Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam. All must go back to Hazrat Ishaq alayhi salatu wasalam. Even to the extent of a few years later now, after that event of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam leaving his son Hazrat Ismail alayhi salam in the desert. Now, years later, either Hazrat Ismail alayhi salam was about 13, some report mentioned 7, seems 13, and Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam comes to sacrifice his son, right? And subhanAllah, he takes him, and how the son's reaction was so amazing. The Quran Kareem mentions. But still, the biblical version tries to steal that honor and says that that one who was sacrificed for Allah and Allah saved him was Ishaq alayhi salatu wasalam. So that also is a shock. But as I'm going to come back to that one about the sacrifice, I'm just reading this verse here from Genesis 17:20, full of it. And Allah answered Ibrahim alayhi salam's prayer. And as for Ismail, I have heard thee, I have blessed him and will make him fruitful and will multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget and I will make him a great nation. Now all his sons are also mentioned in the Bible. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam comes from his son called Taydar. Back to this about the sacrifice, because Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, what happened was, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was told to sacrifice his son. And now in the Bible, it says that you have not withheld from me your only son, Isaac. Now imagine, you have not withheld from me your only son. Now in the Bible, it's clear that the only son of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam for 13 years was none other than Hazrat Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam. Actually 14 years, because Hazrat Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam was born when Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam was 86. And Hazrat Ishaq alayhi salatu wasalam was born when Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was 100. And now, clearly in the verse, you have not withheld from me your only son. And now, it adds to that, Isaac. So you can see this is something we learn in the terminology of the sciences of hadith called mudraj, an unjust addition to the text. So this honor of Hazrat Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam also they tried to steal. That's why there's an interesting bahth about the rejected cornerstone. Hazrat Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam, the Israelites tried to reject him. That's why they tried to take him out of the equation. Because according to the biblical verses, it says here that, and this is not true about Hazrat Sarah alayhi salam, but she says, get him away I don't want him to share in the inheritance of my son. The biblical composers don't understand. These lies can never be acceptable because these are the purest of people. These are not ordinary people. So, anyway, this was the crux of the discussion. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept us for his deen. Just to culminate the discussion, to mention to you this cornerstone in Matthew 21:42, Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam mentions to his companions about the cornerstone. That have you heard about the stone that has been rejected by the builders? But they actually amazed at that cornerstone, that the rejected one. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned in the Sahih Bukhari that ana tilka labina, I am that cornerstone that was. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave that honor to Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. See this, these verses. Allah's favor is not unconditional. Allah is not, na'udhu billah, racist. His favor on the Israelites was conditional. You uphold my message and teachings, and I will protect you and help you. But they were rebellious. They killed their prophets and turned their backs to the message, and they tried to crucify Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. So Allah Ta'ala replaced them with the other forgotten son of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, namely Hazrat Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam. This is what the God says of Ismail. Allah says about Ismail alayhi salam in the Bible. And the son of the maidservant will I make into a great nation, because he, Ismail, is your seed. This is Genesis 21:13. So like that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept us for his deen. To culminate, interesting is also what the Bible says about Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salam. There's some very, very strange false narrations there that he fought with God and so forth. Obviously, it's not true. Inshallah, in the coming discussions, we will discuss Hazrat Dawood and Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salam. And we'll have to mention something about Hazrat Lut alayhi salam, because sadly, what the Bible says about Hazrat Lut alayhi salam is very, very sad. That how his daughters went unto him and he slept with them, na'udhu billah, and they bore his children. And which progenies in the world are from the children of the two daughters of Hazrat Lut alayhi salam? Imagine how much of filth had crept into the scriptures. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us, and may Allah preserve our iman. May Allah preserve our deen, and may Allah give us tawfiq to love all the anbiya alayhim salam. May Allah give us tawfiq to defend them, and may Allah give us tawfiq to share the truth with the whole world. Inshallah. Ameen. Wa sallallahu ala nabi al-ummi bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahim.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.